Everybody would turn to John chapter 4. You know, I love this clip. I ran across it last week as I was doing a study. You know, we've made worship so complicated. And it's really just the heart. It's our heart for Jesus. And we can worship Him here. We can worship Him in our car on the way to work. We can worship Him while we mow the lawn. But it's all about a heart totally directed towards Him. And we just forget about all the other fluffy stuff. And it's fun. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as we don't lose Him in the midst of it. Let's not make it about us anymore. Let's come back to the true heart of worship. Let's return back to the source, who's Jesus. And He is the fountain of life. And only in Him is the living water. Only in Him can we receive His presence to fill us up, to overflow to the lives around us with His love and His joy and His peace. And oh, He is so good. I'm so thankful for the songs you're singing today in worship. Totally heart-directed towards our Lord. Gets us all that spiritual chiropractic adjustment in the morning. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's clap. Is this all about Jesus? And that's who we're here to praise, Lord God. It's not about the multimedia, though we are so thankful for our sound booth ministry, God. And we are so thankful. God, thank you for the gifts that you've given us in the worship team, Father. I thank you for their hearts. They are so humbly surrendered to you, God. They are such a blessing. And we praise you and we thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are returning to the fountain of life, our source, Jesus, who is the heart of worship. And if you didn't catch my message last week, I laughed the entire way through. I was praying I didn't snort. I checked. I did not snort, but I was so close to it. I laughed so hard, told every embarrassing story about myself, because it's easier to learn from your pastor's mistakes, let me tell you. last week was It's All About Who is my series. Last week was part one, Ministering to the Lord. And today is part two, Living Water Overflow. So this is John chapter 4, and I'm going to tell most of this story. John chapter 4, verses 6 through 24. Now, we know this story. This is when Jesus goes and meets a woman at the well, and she's a Samaritan woman. And I could probably teach an hour on this story alone, maybe another time. But the brunt of it, I just want to dig into it. In verse 10, we're going to pick up there. And Jesus is speaking to the woman. And He says, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to. Who are we speaking to in worship? Just think about this. And Jesus continues, you would ask me and I would give you living water. It's not the entertainment. It's not the buzz. It's Him. In verse 14, it says, as He's having this conversation back and forth with her, because she's trying to wrap her brain around it. Like most of us are. Raise your hand if you remember a season in your life where you're trying to wrap your brain around worship. You know, like we get concerts, you know, okay. Or some of you are musicians, like you understand kind of the coffee shop, you know, snap your fingers. But what is this whole worship and church thing? What does that look like? Many of you may have been raised in churches where worship looked different, but the heart was still the same, right? Honor, reverence, respect, words about Him. So my job today is not to teach you the culture of worship, right? My job is to teach you the heart of it. And you be who God's called you to be and worship God in spirit and truth. You don't need to copy me or anybody else out there. You don't need to go to a church and pick up their culture for worship. You worship God with your whole heart, whatever that looks like, okay? Amen? Amen? So verse 14 says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within, giving them eternal life. This is nuts. When we learn just to tap into who He is, He fills us up and He satisfies us unlike anything else. Nothing else can satisfy us like He can in His presence. Amen. And it is fresh, it's bubbling, it's welling up, and it overflows in the fruit of the Spirit in our life, right? Worship life overflows into what? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness. We can do that whole list in Galatians. So verse 23, Jesus kind of bring it home. Like I said, you can go back and study it. It's so good. Verse 23 says, but the time is coming, and indeed it's here now. What? How do we pray? God, our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your worship come on earth as it is in heaven, right? It's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Let's get back to the heart of worship. It's time to make it all about Jesus because he is all we need, right? He's all we need, and only he can satisfy our hearts. Only he can fill us up. Holy Spirit, your presence is more than enough for us, right? We praise him through the storms. Read about Paul, and oh, maybe next week, guys. I might have a third. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I have actually 8 pages extra. Chopped. Paul managed to worship God in prison, waist deep in human feces. Read Philippians. God, it is not about our circumstances, no matter how hard it must be. Because, guys, Christianity is not rainbows and sunshine. What Bible are you reading? Sorry. But, man, he is good through it all, isn't he? And he fills us up. He satisfies our hearts. And despite how much of a mess our circumstances might be, there is always joy we tap into in worship and praise, right? Okay, so here's my question after we watched this video clip, which we laughed through, right? I watched it so many times, I kept laughing to myself because I came from a mega big church that was so dark, people would trip. They actually had to have ushers with flashlights so people could find their seats. When I got into leadership position, I was like, guys, it's getting a little embarrassing how dark and there's nothing wrong with that. It's really fun to kind of block out all the distractions and worship him. State-of-the-art worship services. I enjoyed it. But that's not who we are. And that's okay, right? YCF is who we're called to be. But we still, in our own little way, pressure our worship teams to perform at a certain standard, don't we? Let's be real. Guys, if this was Hillsong United up there, I couldn't find a seat on the front row. Right. Mm-hmm. What? It's true. It's true. Come on. We pressure them to perform at this concert level until we'll participate. And when we do, yeah, we're like raising our hands and clapping offbeat always if you're me. Totally can't find the beat for the life of me. I mean, if someone put a gun to my head, I don't even know that. But we clap and we jump and we shove up forward. But if it's not at that level, what is it? You know, we kind of put our hands, right? Pockets. This is my favorite one. Oh, the service started. It's okay. It's okay. We've all been there. It's not a big show to inspire us. It's not this huge, orchestra to conjure this emotional high. You ever listen to a secular song and it's like, man, Celine Dion just hit the stage. First of all, my roommate in college was obsessed with Celine Dion. I had to give up two of my favorite bands, which I will not mention so you don't judge me, just so she could stop listening to Celine. But I mean, you know those moments when you get up there and the Titanic sank and she's like, you know, it was just like goosebumps. So was Celine and then people start crying. Oh gosh. Sorry, Celine, no judgment. You're just not my flavor. Okay, it's not about conjuring that emotional response, is it? Music is a tool that God gave us. It's a gift. Thank God. My best friends are all artists and musicians except one. I love the gift that's in their life. I love going to art galleries. I love going to concerts. I love celebrating the gifts that are in them, right? And my friends use them to glorify God. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Music is a tool, a gift God gave certain individuals on this earth. Thank God for it. And they're using it for his glory. And it helps unify us, doesn't it? And it kind of helps open up our heart. Something about just music, our defenses go down. Come on, you know your little kid. They walk in the room. Mom, Dad, I've been taking piano for 3 days. Listen to this. Dung, 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 dung. Whatever. Okay, it's your kid. And your heart is just so swelled with such joy because your kid just cranked out Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and only hit 20 keys off key. But that's your kid, right? Something about music from the sincerity of your heart lowers that wall. So it's a tool. It unifies us. Now listen, every person in this building walked in with some things going on in their heart. We have different things pulling on us, different challenges, battles, distractions. You know what the great thing about worship is? It just kind of throws this beautiful music net out and it pulls us all in to words. And these words are biblical words. They're words to God. They're words to our Lord and Savior. Man, they preach the answer. You know who the worship team is? They are just as important as me. They preach the gospel through song. If anything, they're a little bit more important. Do you know why? Because, man, when that wall goes down and our hearts get soft and we go directly to the source and he brings healing, man, my job is done. I cannot wait for the day where I step up here and go, you know what? Here's a scripture and we're just going to go back. Because we're a team. That's why I tell people, don't you dare criticize my team. I'm on their team. This is my team. I'm on their team. These are my friends. These are my church family. Oh, I don't want to do it without them. I'm so grateful for them. Because listen, these biblical lyrics, all right, sung to him, help us combine spirit and truth with music, right? Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. When we worship him with our whole heart in the truth of God's word. God's word is truth. And we connect this with this and this, and it just gets big and so good. And there's this power of unity because we are the body of Christ. And when we all come up under the head and remember it's all about Jesus, what happens? We talked a little bit about it last week. His glory fills this place. And this thing, this corporate anointing, and I every time I talk about it, I want to teach on it. Maybe eventually. I'm on a tangent these days. This corporate anointing, his presence, his glory fills this place and healing flows. Right? Body, mind, and spirit. It's the most beautiful, glorious thing. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Guys, don't neglect the gathering of the saints. Now listen, I spend time at home worship. I hung out with Vanessa yesterday and we were out walking the rail trail. I took a break from my sermon, you know, and we're talking and all of a sudden I was like, you know what? Let's pray. She's like, okay, nobody else was on the rail trail, so we weren't crazy people, you know? And we just started praying, and just out of this abundance of our heart, we just kind of hit this spring of like prayer about certain things going on in our lives, and we started kind of praising God. We didn't start singing. We were praising him with our words for what he was doing in our lives and then the things that we had just prayed for. He's in the midst when people gather together in his name. He's in the midst, whether it be in a church building, around a family dinner table, and you invited people over, or you're on the rail trail and you started praying. Isaiah chapter 61, I read this all the time. You don't have to go there. But there's that special anointing that flows. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, right? And when that Spirit of the Lord is moving, there is an oil of joy that breaks open for the heaviness, for the grief, for the pain that we've gone through in our lives. And what happens? He overflows on us. Healing comes. Chains are broken. Depression is broken in the name of Jesus. It has no hold over us. So music is a tool. It opens hearts. It deepens the impact of the truth of his word. It helps usher us to see and receive and reflect the character and nature of God. It's so important. You guys remember what grace is? Remember? The divine influence upon our hearts and its reflection in our lives. When we worship God, receive grace to worship God and receive his just character and nature, it overflows on us. It's so beautiful. All right, Psalms chapter 33, verses 2-4 in the Message Bible. I really liked it. I really like it because, you know, some people, depending on what generation you're in, we have a certain attachment to certain instruments, right? You know, in my house, classical music was classic rock. It was in the 1960s and 70s. It didn't count. You know, that's classic. We listened to that. It had a certain sound to it. So what is the purpose of music? Psalms 33:2-4 in the Message translation says, use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. Okay, my students are like, what is hallelujah? Hallelujah comes from this Hebrew word that means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And listen, guys, thank God we're a church that reaches the lost and people that didn't grow up in church. Just a reminder, we have to sometimes tell our kids, our students, their friends, the neighbor that we brought. By the way, you know, when we sing this song, hallelujah means praise the Lord. We might just have to say praise the Lord. And it says, play his praise on a grand piano. Invent your own new song to him. Give him a trumpet fanfare, for God's word is solid to the core, and everything he makes is sound inside and out. Guys, we got to praise him in our own words. What does that mean? That means sometimes when we sing this song and maybe our brain disconnects during a poetic moment where you just didn't get it. Or maybe the song is singing about something maybe you're not personally going through, but maybe the person beside you is. It's not about us. That song is for them, right? And so those moments, we just sing to the Lord. Or if you're not a big singer, we just speak to him our praises, right? So it's good to kind of sing your own words in the midst of it. You're not glued to the words on the screen. If my students know, I sing the wrong words all the time. let's see here. When we sing lyrics full of God's word and our own words directed to him, it brings substance. It brings depth. It's a fulfillment. It's not just a song. It's my song to him, right? That's why adding our own words and having a spiritual song for him is really important. All right, so you know those musical interludes where some people that aren't musically inclined or they're like, hey, I'm trying to get to the word here. You're like, can you hurry it up with your little intro and your little transition? Did you know what the purpose of that is for? That's my favorite part. My favorite part. I'm a huge music appreciator. Oh my gosh. Do you know what they're doing for us? That worship team just created space. What was that space for? For us to sing a song to him. For us to stop and think about the words we just sang to him. It's creating space for the song to sink from our head to our heart. And thank you, worship team, for doing that. I am so gracious. It's purposeful. You know the word Selah, you see it in the Psalms a lot. The Amplified Bible expands upon it, and it means pause and think about that. It means to actually take some time to think, to meditate. The word meditate comes from a word that's similar to ruminate. For all you people that are from the country, like my backyard is a cornfield. Okay. You see cows, and they what? They grab some grass, and they chew on it, and they chew on it, and they chew on it, and they make this gross thing called a cud. And what? They swallow it, and then they do something, and then they chew on it again. Guys, that's what meditation means. It means just to chew on the words we're singing. I know, youth pastor analogies. You won't forget it, though. Sometimes we got to pause in the midst of that song. And it's thank you, worship team, for, like I said, the musical interludes, these transitions, and it gives us time to think. That's what the purpose is. Sometimes we don't value things because we just don't know, right? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. There's so much more we can do. Anybody like ribs? Oh, I love me some anything. Meat on a stick, meat on the bone. I don't care. I just like meat. In fact, I won't even date guys that don't eat meat. What is wrong with you? If I can eat more than you on a date, it's not going to work out. Don't let this fool you. I can put it down. All right. So, you know, you get a big thing, rack of ribs. I visited my friend in Philly and we went out to dinner and I ordered like a rack of ribs. I was feeling hungry. That was a long drive. Man, I got every single bone. I'm chewing the meat. I mean, the sauce is like dripping down my fingers, my face. Please don't take pictures on Facebook. Cause I wanna suck it dry. You know, you get it all out. You know, there's a guy, a famous writer, Thoreau, and he said, I want to suck the bone marrow out of life. I want to suck every ounce of what God is doing in a song in that moment to me. Right? Selah. Pause and think about that. Wasn't in my notes. There we go. All right. So what does Selah mean? Okay. Comes from this Hebrew, it's translated from a Hebrew word called kala, and it means to hang or measure weigh in the balances. Thinking about it, I'm weighing these words. And what do these words mean to my life and my reflection to God Almighty? Sometimes we got to take a moment and hang with him. You know, when you go to, it's one thing to like drive by a friend's house. Hey, what's up? Here's some, like, here's some zucchini because I got 50,000 of them. All right, bye. Good to see you. Thanks. Bye-bye. Here's some zucchini. We had a neighbor knock on our door. Thank you. We like that stuff. But to hang out is what we go inside. We take off our coat. We hang our coat up, kick off the shoes, in my case, 4-inch heels, whatever. Get comfy. Sit out in the living room. Enjoy their presence. Hang out with him. Pause and think about, saturate yourself. Think about it. Meditate on his goodness and worship. Let's not rush it. Sometimes we got to turn off our cell phone. I leave my cell phone at home when I go on my long walks with God. Just because it's just too hard for me not to. Temptation, temptation. Sometimes we just got to close our eyes, turn off our phone, and just push away all the circumstances. We talked about a lot. We laughed last week, right? Okay, and listen, parents, I grew up in a family of 4 kids. My cousins, there were 5 of them. There were always a million kids running around this church. Okay, there's nothing you can break that we can't fix. We've already broken it. We're the Cashman clan, okay? So if you close your eyes during worship and your kid takes a crayon and rubs it all over a chair, you know what? We got extras downstairs. If your kid gets a Sharpie and gets it all over the wall, don't you worry. I've been waiting for an excuse to redecorate in here. God works all things together for good. Guys, it's okay. Listen, it's okay. This is a family church, isn't it? This is a family church, and I got aunties and uncles and grandmoms in here. And if your little kid kind of wanders out, they'll get them. It's okay, or we'll just start locking the back door. You know, we like herd you in here. Just sometimes it's a good. It's okay. It'll be fine. Just tune it all out and focus on him. We got your back. It's time to step in the freedom from stress that was bought at the cross, guys. Why do we like holding on to it? Like we're better at handling it than him? Do you know what worry and complaining is? It says, God, listen, love you. I know you love me, but I have better plans and I know what I'm doing. Right? Worry and complaining is birthed out of pride. You think you know better than God. Ooh. So when we bask in his presence and have that in-depth conversation and tell him who he is, why we love him. God, you are glorious, Lord. Lord, you are the glory and the lifter of my head. You are my rock and my fortress, the God in whom I trust. You are so beautiful to me. God, you are full of mercy and loving kindness. And I love you. It's in those moments. They weren't on the screen. They're an overflow of my heart towards him and my time spent in the word, right? When we go camping, which for me, it's like a 1-2-day max trip. It's okay. When you go camping, you know, you pitch your tent, right? You get your tent set up, you build that raging fire, and you camp out for hours. What are you doing? Nothing. I got a fire. Right? You just camp out with him. I'm just dwelling, soaking in the fire of his presence, loving my family in the midst of it. I worship God. It's time to camp out in his presence and worship. And you know, we can find a lot of inspiration in the Psalms that David wrote, because there are words that he wrote to the Lord, and then there's the things that God sang back to him. It's a two-way conversation in worship. It's really fun when you start picking that out. It's like, wait, he sang to the Lord, and then the Lord sang the answer back to him. Because it's really all about who? It's about him. It's about Jesus, and it's about ministering to the Lord. We were created to walk with him. We were created to fellowship with him. We were created to worship and praise his name. And we get back to the original purpose of why we were created. Everything makes sense. And we start getting fulfilled and satisfied in him. And he starts filling us with his character, his nature, his love, his joy, his peace. It's all found when we first minister to him. When we give God our full attention, we start to receive him in a fresher and fuller way. Psalms 36 verse 9 says, For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Man, he fills us up. It is time to just get swept up and caught away in the wonder of our Savior. There's that Bethel song, that we never lose our wonder. And it's that awe, it's that reverence. Sometimes, you know, in non-denominational churches, we can get a little too familiar. Come on. Worship started and we're in the back and exchanging recipes and, you know, talking about life. Oh, I like your shoes. You know, sometimes we forget to just give him honor, right? Reverence. I don't down other denominations or church cultures because I think sometimes we have a little bit to learn from them, right? Honor, reverence. Get swept up in the awe of who Jesus is. Be still and know I'm God. Philippians chapter 3 verses 9 through 10 says that I may actually be found and known as in him. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving the wonders of his person more strongly and clearly. Our determined purpose is to be found in him. It's our loving design that he created us to do, is to minister to him. And it's time to get back to that throne room style worship. Because remember, in Revelations chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, John wrote a vision of the throne room. When we minister to the Lord, we tap into what all the heavenly beings are doing in that moment in the throne room, right? This is what worship is. And it says, then I looked again and I heard voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they began to sing, blessing and honor and glory and power beyond belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever. And the four living beings said, amen, let it be so. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Why doesn't our praise and worship look and sound like that? Because guys, I think a lot of times we just forgot what real praise and worship is. So pop quiz, if you were my students downstairs, I'd give you points. My points need nothing. You can get 10 points to 10,000 points. Doesn't matter. Or I throw candy at you. So pop quiz, what is real praise and worship? What is the difference? What is real praise? Anybody remember from last week? You can cheat on your notes. It's not a fast, clappy, clappy song in the beginning of worship. Real praise is an expression of honor, adoration, and thanksgiving to God for what he has done in my life, in my family's life, in my church family, in my neighborhood, in the world. And man, if we're praying for the world in our neighborhood, even our family, even our own lives, sometimes we're praising him for what is to come in faith, right? That's good to do. Because praise is the highest form of prayer. Gets us out of the wallowing. Oh God, oh God. Praise, worship, and prayer always are found flowing together in the Bible. They just flow. Psalms 22 verse 3 says, but you are holy and you inhabit the praises of Israel, your people. When we praise him, man, his presence just saturates us. All right, so what is real worship? It's not the slow stuff. It's not the emo, you know, teary songs. It comes from the word worth-ship, to give honor to whom is honorable. It's reverential honor. It's adoration. It's telling God who he is. God, you are majestic. You are glorious. You are beautiful. You are great and greatly to be praised. Worship is a vertical thing. Our attention is not on us. It's on him. So what's all the other stuff? That little fluffy filler stuff. You know, the oh, 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 la, 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 whoa, God. You ever sing those songs? Like, you're like, what are we singing here? You know, that filler. Yes, it's a fun musical segue, and there is a purpose to it, but I want to let you know, they're actually just doing our job. Because remember, when we get that space, It's to fill it with our praises and our own words to him. Now, I literally do not have time to teach it because my time is flying by. But if you go on the website and look under Untying Tongues, this really blows it open. But I want to say this. Allow words to flow from your heart and from your spirit. English or your spirit language, right? Because in 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, it says, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then what should I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit, and I also sing in words I understand." It's not a weird thing. Now, I'm not saying burst them all out for everybody else to hear. You'll understand why when you read my message or listen to my message. But I'm saying let spiritual songs, heartfelt songs, words to come out. And the best worship bands flow like this. Man, Jesus Culture, you really catch it. And YCF is really starting to tap into this. I've seen it in practice, actually. I peek in on my teams sometimes. When we pray in the Spirit and we sing in the Spirit, it is done perfectly to God. It's perfect praise. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "I speak in tongues one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God." It's not weird. And adding syllables is a natural part of secular songs, right? Do you remember when we used to sing? Sha la 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 da di da. Come on, sing with me. La la di da. What? My brown eye girl? Guys, it's not weird. You're thinking it's weird. It's really not. It's not a part. It's a part of human nature. But I'm saying now, just this is an example. But it's okay to tap into your heart and your spirit, and let those songs in English or your spirit language, in your times to him. Everybody kind of get it? All right. And listen, it is way harder than you think to find songs that are just about him. Because a lot of the songs that are out there today, man, our worship team really has to pick through them. It's tough. A lot of it's very poetic symbolism. You ever looked on the back of a box of cheese puffs and you're like, what is in here? I don't even know. Polly Sorbo, what? Huh? I don't even know what that even means. You know, it's hard, right? It's hard. It's okay. Don't get down on yourself. You're like, I don't even know what they're talking about right now. That's okay. You didn't get a degree in poetry in college. It's all right. You know, sing your own words to them. Don't criticize those who are singing it. Just sing your own words to them. God is looking for wholesome, heartfelt, organic worship. This is not a plug for eating healthy. It's just a really good example. That free flows from the abundance of your heart to God alone. Psalms 96:1-4 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." I just say it's time that we use our own words and use the word of God and just bring more substance to worship. It's not their job, it's our job to sing a new song, right? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Singing the gospel. We're able to teach the word of God through song. That's why I went up to my worship team. I'm like, I am so grateful for you. Because this gift has the ability to preach the gospel through song. It's incredible. It softens heart. Healing comes. Guys, I'm so gracious. Psalms 107:8-9 in the Amplified says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness, his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good." Only the Lord can fill us up. Only him. But sometimes we're missing him in the midst of worship and praise, the living water, and we hunger for more because it just is kind of missing that spirit and truth moment, right? So here's my interesting teaching. So hang on. This is one of those ones where you're like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about this one. So brace yourself. Okay. What is messing up our appetite for worshiping in his presence? What are we trying to fill up on? Okay. I love a big tangy fruit pie. Love them. I'm not a big dessert person, but a big tangy fruit pie, like strawberry rhubarb that Miss Bev makes, or I make a really good apple pie. I learned it from my mom, but I put extra lemon juice in it because I like a little zippy. Okay, I love it. And you know, the danger of a fruit pie, especially if you bake one before dinner, is if you start in on that thing, if you're like me, you might just eat the whole pie. Sometimes if we do dessert before dinner, it kind of messes with our appetite for something with more nutritional value. So when you eat dessert and it doesn't have that dinner foundation to stick to, it doesn't really satisfy us a little bit later, does it? Sometimes you even feel a little bit off, a little bit sick, because we miss the pot roast. Man, the pie's better on top, the pot roast. It's the truth. All right, so what are you talking about, Sherry? I'm setting you up. You know, because of the abundant outpouring of great teaching out there is today, we gobble up all these books and all these CDs and listen to all these podcasts. And they're great things. They're important. We should take advantage of them, right? I love studying, which is why I have 30 pages of notes on this series. It's a little scary sometimes. I love studying. But you know what? I spend time with Him first, in His Word, worshiping Him directly. I go right to the source. And then the cherry on top, the dessert, is getting to hear someone else's awesome take on what the Lord is telling me. That's the purpose of it. I like digging into my stacks of books. Guys, just remember to chew before you swallow. Sometimes we get onto some favorite teachers, and our favorite teachers get a little bit off track, but we're quoting them like they're the Bible. Be like the Berean church. It says day after day, they were searching scriptures to see if their favorite teachers, Paul and Silas, were on track. We are followers of Jesus Christ, not Mr. Pastor and this and that so-and-so on TV. Click. Think about that. Otherwise, we become groupies. They just go from conference to conference and seminar. Would you pray for me and pardon me another spiritual gift? You know, the thing about vitamin supplements is there to supplement. I looked up the word supplement. It means something that completes or enhances something else when added to it. It's meant to be the icing on the cake of a deep relationship with God. So we have to develop our own home life of worship and digging into the Word. Otherwise, we're just going to get off track in the me zone, chasing all of our favorite teachers, looking for more knowledge on power and gifts to scratch our itching ears for revelation knowledge on the book of Revelations and all the end times. Just a thought. Instead, we really need just hunger for Him and His presence. Go right to the source in His Word. Spend time with Him in worship. And then on top of that, man, that means God can trust you with some revelation, right? So are we substituting time in His presence for knowledge? This is a teaching church. We're a word church. Always, it'll always come back to His Word. It's the foundation of everything we do. But our job is to get you to go to the source. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 says, "As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." So whatever degree Satan can distract us from our relationship with God, that's the degree that we walk in deception. So if we're filling up on our tangy fruit pie, just digging into teachers, man, I just cannot wait to tell everybody what I heard at this conference. Can't wait to quote Mr. Preacher so-and-so. But there's no fruit of the Spirit in us. We have got off track. And it ruins our spiritual hunger and worship. There's a lot of people that got so much head knowledge. But man, when it comes to worship and praise, hands in the pockets, checking the clock. But man, they want to teach a Bible study. Proof's in the pudding. Where's your worship life? Are you saturating in His presence? Are you digging into the Word for yourself, going straight to the source, the living water? Or are we relying on a second-hand information, second-hand revelation from someone else? Nothing wrong with that. I love teaching. I have great teachers I listen to all the time. but I got to go to the source first. And that guards us from getting off track and not so gorged on head knowledge that we forget the living water of the Spirit. Guys, let's make sure that our favorite teachers don't become idols in our lives. It's Jesus. Don't convince yourself that other men's revelations, other women's revelations and teaching is enough to fill us up. Jeremiah 2, verse 13 in the New Living Translation says, "For my people have done two evils. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water." I dug this out of our shed. This little pot here has got a crack in it. It's also got a hole in the bottom. So what happens? The English Standard Version says, "They have forsaken me for broken cisterns." Cisterns, a long time ago in a faraway place, were this big ceramic or pot that meant to catch fresh, living rainwater, right? And when your cistern is broken, my mom is loving this. Where's your water go? That's right. Like to redecorate, yay! Guys, there's no substitute for true praise and worship in time in the Word with Him, right? So that secondhand information, that secondhand gorged of head knowledge, guys, it's not going to hold. We got to spend time with Him, right? And a little bedside Baptist turning on your favorite teacher. Does that really replace our time of worshiping Him, praising Him, and building each other up and digging in the Word? We get deceived a little bit. Let's get in the living daily flow in His presence, in His Word, in worship, in praise to Him. There's this danger of mental assent. Have you ever heard of this? Mental assent is amen, amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, yeah. Preacher, that was good. Preach it. Preach it. That's good. And then you go up to him and go, "Hey, what's God talking to you about these days?" Well, and then they start quoting what, their favorite preacher? It's dangerous because it gets us all stuck up in our head. And we got to take time to let it sink into our heart. Selah, right? Oh man, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip some notes because I want to get to something real good here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Jeremiah 17, 13 says, "Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." Guys, it's time to come back to Him for Himself. To love Him just for who He is and not for what He gives us. We go to the Lord and we love Him and we praise Him and we worship Him. And we tell Him what He means to us just because. Just for Himself. And then what happens is revelations of who He is drops in your heart. Not just head knowledge, but when you're living it. Matthew 18, verse 13. It talks about Jesus is telling, he's surrounded by these children. And He said, "Hey, you got to come to me like a child." Sometimes we just need to forget everything and come to Him like a child in worship. I grew up on West King Street a long time ago. Until I was about 5, and then we moved. I actually lived next door to my cousins. Michael, he was my neighbor. Aunt Martha, I used to come over to your house, and like she would let me feed him, and I was like, "One for you, one for me, one for you, one for me." Now at this point of time, Michael was probably too young, but my favorite memory growing up on West King Street was in the summer when it rained. The hot summer rain. And you know what happened? We lived in a little duplex, and it was on just a small incline. In your mind, it was probably huge as a little kid. And there was this alley that connected all the houses. And we had tons of little kids. And in the hot summer rain, we would all run outside. And we'd stand in the alleyway. And we'd dance, and we'd shout, and we'd jump around, and we would play. And we'd lift our hands, and we'd catch the rainwater. Man, and as the water would start to gather, it would start to rush between our toes on this hill. And it would rush through my jelly shoes because it was the 1980s, okay? And I loved it. It was so much fun. It was so freeing. And you know, when the storm came, because sometimes it was rain and sometimes it turned to a storm. And then the mom started kind of, you know, getting a little upset. "Oh, we need to come in." We were having so much fun out there. We would hide from them. We would get in trouble. They would have to run out and find us. And you know, if your mom had to run out in the rain and get all wet to find you, to bring you inside, what? We would hide and stay out because we love the summer rain. Man, it was just still caught up in the celebration of the simplicity, and we didn't care. And that's what the reign of his spirit is like. Sometimes we get the opportunity. Thank God for worship teams. But sometimes we're just driving in our car and we throw some music on. Sometimes we don't got no music. And it's just an opportunity to say la, take some time, saturate in his presence and celebrate who he is and what he's done in your life and what he's freed you to. Because guys, there's nothing to fear in the storm. Yeah. This final thought I'm going to leave you on. We can learn a lot from the life of David. He was a worshiper and he was a manly man. For some of you men are like, you know, my wife worships. She worships enough for both of us. You know, I'm the energetic one in my family. I'm the embarrassing one. I am the loud one. My sister Joy tells me all the time. She's like, I cannot take you anywhere. Gosh, I think I got that from my father. Okay. Now, my dad was a man's man, too. He's a little girly sometimes. He was a crier. Okay? I take a lot after him. But David was a warrior king. He was a man's man. First of all the ladies wanted to date him. And all the men wanted to be him. Truth. Right? And where did it all start out? He was a worshiper. He worshiped God on the job. He worshiped God when he was driving to work. When he was like chasing after sheep. He worshiped God on his lunch break. His heart was just directed towards him. It said David was a man after God's own heart. And that's why God could trust him and promote him. Because along the way to work when he was worshiping, bear kind of came. You ever have a bear try to mess with your family? A lion come try to steal from you? What happened? Because he was so connected with the Lord and his grace was flowing, supernatural strength came in him. And man, I wouldn't want to be that bear. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, unless you're David, manly man. Worshipper, warrior king. Then what happened? A giant came along. Who are you to defy my God? Worshipper. Worshipper. He saw himself in the light of God's eyes. God's got my back. Armies came. God's got my back. Right? And you know, one of my favorite stories about David, this is one of the stories that kind of got me spurred in my worship study tangent over the last couple months. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 through 22. I'm not going to read it, but this is a story I'm going to end on with a challenge. So our rock star warrior king David just had a big victory. And they got the Ark of the Covenant back, which is mobile church. And he is stoked. He is excited. Man, the Ravens just won. Oh, conflicted interests here. Yay, Super Bowl fans, whatever your team was, just won! Yeah! Okay, there we go. Okay, so excited. And what's he do? Come on, at the end of the Super Bowl, if your team won, you are jumping and shouting and just banging and, you know, like throwing your beverage, the soda, at people, okay? You don't even care. You do like what guys, come on, football players are like 1,000 pounds out there and they're dancing like crazy girls, all right? We got caught up in the celebration and David is like, what? Man, the Lord is with us. And what's he start doing? I'm feeling this. I'm not dancing up here. I'm going to stop right now because it was about to happen. It was going to be embarrassing. And Dan was taking pictures earlier. So I am not dancing right now. Invite me to your wedding. I will be dancing. You will see it then. Okay. So, okay. The victory came and he's got the ark, the presence of God. And it says that he danced before the Lord. Verse 14, David danced before the Lord with all of his might, with all of his heart, with all of his strength, with all that's within me. I don't care how dumb I look right now because I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on him. And it says he was clad in a linen ephod. You're like, what is that? he humbled himself. He took off his kingly robes and he put on like a dress, essentially, a linen dress. And it's what the priests wore. But you know what? It was really humble because even the little kids would wear that little humble white ephod in the priestly thing. So he was just in the most humble state. He had just thrown down anything that he could hold on to of his own achievement. And says, I'm going to dance before the Lord with all of my might. And I do not care what anyone else says. And he caught some slack from the misses. Oh, I have jokes right now. I'm going to just reel it in. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 22. David's response to her for embarrassing her. Says, I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. I am willing to look even more foolish than this. You ain't seen nothing yet. But baby, you think this is crazy? Let me show you some crazy. It was out of the abundance of his heart. In that moment, the manliest man that was ever recorded in the history of the Bible, who had a heart after God. In that moment, he wasn't copying anybody else. He wasn't trying to be anybody else. He didn't care what anybody else thought. The whole city was watching. His wife is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Guys, what are we waiting for? What are we holding back on? Now listen, I don't need every man in this church to dance next Sunday, okay? That's not what I'm asking. Hopefully you heard my preface. I'm just saying, guys, let's not be bound by what people think of us. Right? Oh, Betsy, did you see? John is raising his hands during worship. Oh my God. What? Who cares? Let them all talk. I'm a single female preacher. Let them all talk. Be who you're called to be. Right? Be who you're called to be. And I will be even more undignified than this. You know what throne room worship is? Revelations 4, verses 8 through 11, in the throne room, day after day, night after night, they kept on singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is to come. Whenever the living beings giving glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one that lives forever. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the one sitting on the throne, and they lay down their crowns. They laid down their crowns, all their achievements, all their accomplishments, all their false identity, all their dignity. And they said, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. God, we love you. Let's just all stand up and just take a moment to Selah, to pause and think about this. Lord God, we love you. We love you. More than anything else in this world, Lord God. I thank you right now that we humble ourselves. We lay our lives down at your feet. Lord God, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the majesty. And we give you our thanks, Lord God. God, all of our accomplishments mean nothing in the light of your eyes. Philippians 3:8, it's trash. God, I just thank you for who you are. You fill us up, Lord God. Our purpose is to be found in you, and you are holy. And we bless your name because you are worthy to receive honor and power. Lord God, we love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you right now in this moment because you are so good. You are a good, good Father. We come to you, Jesus. We praise you with our whole heart, holding nothing back. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Worship. It's really simple. You are dismissed, and if you want to stay for prayer or just stay in that attitude, you are more than welcome to stand and saturate yourself. Amen. We love you guys.